Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
He's a hometown kid who became a major league star. And now he's part of our broadcast family here in Atlanta. It's the Jeff Francoeur Show.
Let me give you one more.
Is only on the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
A Braves fan, Sean Larkin, says, "Can you elaborate, Kutch?" Braves fan here. Are you referring to the infield? Both infield and outfield. I know it's a complaint. You have to do your best to make the plays. But the ball is bobbled 5 to 7 times a game on both sides. The ball snakes when it hits the ground, causing misplays constantly.
5 to 7 times?
It's his
maybe,
story. It's
maybe,
not mine.
Maybe they make it look easy. They can disguise it. But I watched a lot of games across the street. I don't recall that happening 5 to 7 times. Jeff Francoeur with us right now on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Do you notice that as you call games, Jeff, about Truist Park and the surface?
Look, you know, Turner Field was the same way. It snakes a little bit in the outfield, guys, but it's not uncommon. You can go to almost any field, and unless it's AstroTurf, the ball's going to snake some. I mean, that's part of what, you know, grass is going to do. I mean, it's no different. Go drive a golf cart on Zoysia Fairway. You kind of snake a little sometimes. I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but I will say this. Other guys don't seem to have a problem, right?
Well, look, I think what happened is the guy is sequestered. He's isolated. He's live tweeting during a baseball game, kind of losing his crap about a couple of things, trying to joke about a few other things. And he threw one out there, and there was going to be a reaction to it. That's what he got. Yeah, he got the reaction.
Exactly. And like I said, I mean, our park is, you know, one of the best in the game. And I've heard so many guys say that. So I think, like anything, sometimes you can take that with a grain of salt.
Jeff, safe to say that we're going to pretty much now, the day off here or there, but pretty much see Acuna in the lineup all the time?
Yeah, and I think it should be. I mean, I think the guy's ready to go. I mean, two night games here, then you go turn around this weekend and you get a night game, a 4:05 and what, an 11:35? So I would think you'll see him in right field the next four. And then that 11:35 game, you probably see him DH, I would imagine.
All right. I know that you've got a lot of paperwork. You get notes. You get Boston's notes. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed, Friday night, Milwaukee's notes were the heaviest game notes I've ever held in my hand. Now, they were 19-8. So, yeah, I guess there was a lot of good stuff to write about, but there was a lot of stuff going on in those game notes. Here's one as of Friday morning, and I apologize I don't have. I should have. The National League DH numbers. Compared to every other position, do you know the National League DH has got the lowest OPS of anything, including catcher, shortstop? Every other position has got a higher OPS than the National League designated hitter right now. As I like to say, this is not really going the way that we kind of thought it might go with the extra bat. It's better than pitchers, but it's not necessarily the old days of a DH just mashing.
No, I agree. I also think that, you know, it wasn't guaranteed to have this, you know, so I think, you know, In the same way, you know, it's tough to kind of, so many people have played, these teams in the National League have been built to be National League teams. And all of a sudden you get a chance to have a DH. Look, I think it'll go up. Guys like Nelson Cruz, Marcelo Zuna, they're going to start hitting better soon as far as for power and other stuff. So that number is going to go up. But I also think it's going to take a few years for it to even out, for a guy in the National League to go sign a guy, hey, strictly for 3 years to come hit. You know, I just don't think we've had that yet. So I think you got to give it a little bit of time. But I agree. I mean, the game notes were, it was tough. You know, I'm not a guy that can look through a whole lot before I kind of lose interest.
I agree.
I lost interest on page two.
Yeah, anything longer than like a paragraph or two, my mind does start to wander. I'm with you,
I'm
Jeff.
Good.
Yeah, Nick could win $1 million if the email is three paragraphs long, and it says in the third paragraph you won $1 million. I'll never get to it.
Nope, I'll never
100%.
Know.
100%. I'm the guy that it's the same thing. You could have a whole playbook of thing, and at the end, you know, like the movie Draft Day, $100 bill typed in the back. I'm not seeing it.
Jeff Francoeur with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. What did it mean for Charlie Morton on Sunday to get through five innings?
I thought it was great. I thought it was another step forward. I'll say this. The key for me, he got tons of swing and misses, which we have not seen all year. So now, hopefully, he can start to hone in on location, getting ahead of guys, putting guys away. Again, I just – if there was no track record, I would have been a lot worried. But Charlie Morton has done it. He's done it for a long time, and he's done it well. And he did the same thing last year. And all of a sudden, he came on like a bat out of hell and you know, became the other ace with Max Fried. So I'm not worried about Charlie. I thought it was huge. Like I said, the swing and miss stuff was big for me against a good lineup.
He talked about seeing things that gave him a little bit of hope. And in other words, I think he saw some swings or off balance. When you're 60 feet, 6 inches away, you can see, you read body language. He did make a point post-game that he felt better about the idea that there was probably uncomfortable at-bats, which he really hasn't had a ton of uncomfortable at-bats. So, and I'll say this, Jeff, tell me what you think about, we blame managers, should have kept him in longer. That was the perfect time to take him out. There was no other reason to have Charlie Morton go another inning in that game because it could have fallen down pretty quickly.
Yeah, and he was at 91 pitches. So, I mean, what the heck? I mean, in that kind of game, I want to save my bullets for Charlie Morton when you need him in the seventh inning of a 2-1 game against the Phillies in 2 weeks. That's when I want to save him. So let him feel good about it. Let him go back to work. But I agree, 5 strikeouts, and he had at least 5 or 6 other 2-strike counts where he got, you know, weak contact. So that is something we have not seen. So for sure, great to see that.
Relatively speaking, knowing it's early in the season, are you worried about Tyler Matzek at all?
Yeah. I mean, I would be lying if I didn't from a standpoint of I think his arm will come back. I really do. I just think, like anything, I don't think he's injured right now. I just think that he had a massive workload in the postseason last year. And whether you like it or not, that's going to take a toll at some point. I said it on the air the other day. I remember Cole Hamels in 2008 with the Phillies threw 262 innings. When they won the World Series, remember, he was the World Series MVP, the whole deal or whatever. He threw so much. I remember the next year he was 91, 92 until probably about halfway through the season. Then all of a sudden he got back to his 94, 95. So I think more than anything for Tyler, last year, 96, 97, easy cheese, you know, just coming out of his hand smooth. And right now he's really trying to force that ball. You know, it's 93, 94. And it looks like he's trying to throw it as hard as he can. So I think eventually he'll snap out of it. The big thing for me, guys, I just want to make sure it's nothing structurally. You know, that's not wrong with his arm, and he says it's not. So if it's not, then I agree sooner or later he'll come out of this and get his arm back. The good news with that is you got a lot of other arms down there in the pen that can shoulder the load for a while.
There are times when you're supposed to make notes, small sample size, 1 month in, 30 games. The idea that the Boston Red Sox are behind the Baltimore Orioles at any point.
Well, 10 games out already.
And they booed them at Fenway the other day. This is not what they were expecting in 2022.
Well, look, guys, their best reliever is the guy that's starting tonight, Whitlock, and they moved him back into the rotation. So I'll tell you this, for 4 or 5 innings tonight, Braves are going to have their hands full. This guy's got great stuff, and he's top, you know, really good. After that, their bullpen, though, has been, I mean, they have blown more games, middle innings, late innings. And so this is a team that's scuffling. And you know, I think we can talk about it. You can fall behind a little bit. You're 10-19 in that AL East right now with those other three teams at the front. That's not good.
Talk about Ronald Acuna again from a team standpoint and what he brings. You know, we know the stats and we know the hitting streak. We know him getting on base for 23 straight games. But The shot on the arm that he just gives everybody in this clubhouse, him being out there every day.
Well, look, he plays with a lot of emotion, a lot of swag, you know, and the fans embrace that. It can fire up the players. It can fire up the other team. We've seen it, which sometimes ain't a bad thing. You know, it gets you fired up. The one thing I'll say is the last game versus the Mets, and these three games, the first time I've seen all season them play with a lot of passion, a lot of emotion, you know, really going out to wanting to get it. And so I'm hoping that between the Mets, the Brewers, now the Sox coming in town, you got some really good teams that have come in, or at least teams with expectations that has made you raise your level of play.
Go ahead.
What were you saying?
I was going to ask you about the idea that a Contreras comes in and you go, okay, can I get something I didn't necessarily expect? I think that's sometimes when we talk about our old boats lifted a little bit. If there is a true enthusiasm, you get a little something from guys. You go, oh, that was kind of nice. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't think he's supposed to be in AAA anymore. But isn't he another example of a guy that steps up and really can invigorate a team? He just doesn't have the big name.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, the way he's hitting the ball, I wouldn't mind seeing him DH a few games. If you want to throw Marcel out there in left field, I got no issue with him DH in a game. I don't think it'd be the worst thing, you know, let him have four at-bats because of the way he's swinging it right now. I mean, he's taking good at-bats. And I'll tell you another thing, his catching's come a long ways. I know he's still got a lot to work on. But as far as blocking the ball, calling a game, you know, we're not seeing clank balls anymore. He's really done a great job, and I think it was huge for him the last 3 months of the season to go to AAA and catch last year.
When you're in a slump like Matt Olson is, Austin Riley struggling a little bit right now, Marcelo Ozuna, certainly that's going to happen over the course of the season. Do you just get back to basics when you're in a slump like that?
I think you have to. I mean, I think we've seen Dansby now. Look, for what, 4 or 5 hits this weekend? Up the middle, right field, like that just gives you a better chance. When you use the other part of the field, and I didn't learn this till 2011, honestly, in Kansas City when I probably had my best year, was, you know, a double down the right field line counts the same as a double down the left field line. And at the end of the day, I think we get so pull conscious and home run conscious. And Dansby the other day, he was facing Gustave with the Brewers, 96 sinker in, he hit the home run. Granted, we lost 6-3. But he's not trying to do that. Look what ends up happening. He hits a home run. So I think those guys, you just get back to an approach. The one thing I said that we did really good the last 2 months, last year throughout the playoffs, felt like we had a team approach when we attacked the pitcher. I felt like for the first 5 weeks this week, it was kind of, you know, in and out. Different guys had one approach, the other guys. And so I think you're starting to see more of kind of the team buy into it again. And, I think this team's about to get hot. I really do. The bats are starting to come along. The starting pitching seems to be stabilizing itself. And, you know, I don't think there's any reason this team can't rip off 10 or 12.
Honest conversation. It's harder than ever to hit a baseball. We all agree. The numbers all dictate that. You got monsters and big horses coming out of the bullpen on top of everything else. It's the hardest ever. How many do you think, if I said early in your career, first 3 years of your career, give me 100 BPs pregame, 100 BPs, how many of those were a waste?
Every single one of them.
Okay. So, right. And I think the mindset now has got to be, I got to get out of that. It's just for decades, it was, oh, you go take swings and you take BP, and guys played long ball for a while. Nobody's impressed, by the way, now if you put one in the seat. So I think that part of it might be gone. But I think that time has got to be maybe better spent than just this is what we've done for 100 years, so let's go do it again.
In 11 in Kansas City, I spent so much time in BP going up the middle the other way. And then if I did pull a home run, my next hit had to be up the middle the other way, or Kevin Seitzer yanked me out of the cage. And then I can't tell you, too, how many days between you and I when I felt good, I would have just hit in the cage and played in the game. I don't need to go take BP that day. You know, I get 700 ABs during the season. I feel good. I'm just going to go play the game. And I think that's been a loss. Or was lost back when I was there. It was like, you're going to be out there every day hitting BP. And I think that can be counterproductive.
Well, the idea that it's all cheese, it's all 70 mile an hour, here it is, and I get the loosen up part of it. But if you really think about it, you get loose and then you go sit down for a while anyway. I just think that whole idea of, because you've done it for 100 years, you need to do it. If a guy tells me he doesn't need or want BP, don't take BP. Just go do something that you think is going to be more productive.
No, I still go back to one of the best years ever. Was that 2003 by Javi Lopez? He had 43 home runs, and I think he hit twice on the field and smoked a pack of smags in the cage and hit bombs. That's my type of guy.
That's old school in every sense of the word. Speaking of smoking,
You don't have to smoke the smags, but right. I think, you know, just hitting in the cage sometimes all you need.
But you played for Juan Washington in Texas. I know he had a nice homecoming when the Braves went back there. It didn't work out the series the way they wanted it to. But on a day-to-day basis, why do you love a guy as a player like Ron Washington so much?
Well, because, you know, he's in the grind with you every day. I mean, he's at the park cheering for Ozzy and Ronald and Dansby, especially his infield guys, so hard because they work so hard every day. And I think that's honestly, that's the difference between the old school coach to the new school coach. And not to say one better than the other, because we know there's plenty of young coaches that are great in this game. But the one thing you know with some of those guys like Ron Washington, Dusty Baker, Snit, they, I mean, they are with you every single day, cheering you on and fighting with you. And as a player, dude, that rubs off. When you know a guy's got your back at all times and he's living and dying with every pitch, it, you know, it means a lot over the long haul.
It's so funny that you asked that because a week and a half ago, whatever the last homestand was, he was down at the end of the bench, and I went to talk to him. And we were talking. It was his birthday was coming up. He's 70 now, and it's out there.
Yep.
I think it was a couple of days before he was 70. And I said, so what keeps you coming back? He goes, I'm going to tell you. If I didn't want to be here and if I wasn't invigorated by what I do and what I see people around me doing, I'm not coming. And to me, Jeff, that's really what I think players believe. That guy's not coming to Jacob at the ballpark. He's not coming because he's got nothing better to do. He's not coming for the paycheck. He's coming, and he'll leave. Like, if I, yep. I swear to God, on August 4th, if I think he thought, you know, 3 days in a row, I didn't feel like going to the ballpark, I'm supposed to get out of here. I think he'd quit.
I agree. And that's, I mean, he's not none of those guys, Dusty, him, even Snit now after managing for, you know, 6-7 years now, you know, look, they've made some money. They've made the, I mean, if they don't want to be here, they wouldn't be here, but they love it. It's in their blood. They've done it forever. It was Bobby forever. You know, and that's why, like, again, I say, I think it adds a little extra to the player because you don't want to let those guys down.
All right, Jeff, listen, we appreciate the time.
He also said, you can be late once. I'm not out there the second time, though. Like, it's over. You know where I'm going to be. If you're late, I'm not going to be out there, which is, again, the other part of, as men, sometimes still grown-ass men, there have to be things that you have to be held accountable to. That's what a guy like that does as well.
When I was in Texas, he had one rule finishing up, guys, and it was be on time. If stretch was at 4:45, you better be out there at 4:40 because that was kind of his deal. I don't care what you wear to the field. I don't care what you eat, what you drink. It doesn't matter. As long as you're on time in your uni, ready to go, that's all he cared about. And as a player, that's all you want from a manager.
All right, Jeff, like we said, great stuff. As always, great insight. We'll do it again next week.
All right, let's get some wins.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.